Okay, welcome back. And now we have the final breakout session. And to introduce this session, we have Holger from the German Standard Setter here, give us an overview about what we should do, what we should focus on in the breakout session. Holger, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Martin. Good afternoon, everybody. This session is about the Disclosure Initiative, and particularly on one project of the Disclosure Initiative, and this project is called the Principle of Disclosure Project. What we try to do in this project is to look how a general disclosure standard could be improved for IFRS, so actually meaning that there's currently IS1 that holds a lot of general disclosure principles, but of course, what we have heard is that this principle should be improved also to make disclosures more effective for users and, of course, also make it more helpful for preparers in providing more effective information to the users. Now, I will give now, in this kind of brief introduction, the kind of sense where we would like to receive your input, where we are especially focused on your views. And this is specifically on the objectives for notes disclosures, where we think we have heard quite often that the general objective of financial statements is clear, but when it comes to notes disclosures, they are often very topical and very shopping listed driven, and there should be more a general approach. And of course, for this kind of more general and holistic approach, obviously, and there's a need for a more specific objectives, and therefore this session really focuses on one of potential approaches and the staff identified for defining more useful objectives for notes disclosures, and hopefully this should contribute to more effective disclosure, more effective information for users in financial statements. So I will not go through the kind of issues why we're doing this kind of disclosure initiative, because I think it's very clearly on slide 5 that the things that we have heard with on disclosure is there's too much disclosure, disclosures is not really well linked, and also in context of disclosure guidance in IFRS, there seems to be sometimes inconsistency and sometimes also very difficult to understand what particular purpose is of specific disclosure requirements. So therefore, I think there's a common sense that disclosures should be more objective driven, and in a way the staff considered what kind of potential solutions we could actually go for defining more objective driven disclosures. The staff presented to the board in April two potential approaches. We don't want to discuss here both approaches. We want to focus on one approach because we think this approach would be really a kind of fundamental shift in how the way the board would develop disclosures. And therefore, I think we are specifically interested in your input, whether this is the right way, whether you think that's the right approach, or whether you have some additional concerns we so far have not considered yet. And of course, your input would be very well seen for a kind of output of this disclosure initiative and this project as part of a discussion paper that should be published at the end of the year, where we really think this would be more a kind of holistic view how the general disclosures for notes information should be improved. So what I will try now to explain to you is this kind of second approach that we think could be really a potential way. Just to give you a brief information about the first approach would be very similar to what the FASB has developed in their kind of exposure draft for a concept statement. This would be more a way of...
...has joined the conference.
The approach one would be more a kind of developing a list of types of information that the board could consider, and also to explain how this information could be useful. However, we also reviewed the kind of feedback that FASB received, and the second approach is actually a kind of response to the concerns that some people had with this kind of list of potential useful disclosures, and it would be more an approach that actually really puts the objectives in the first place and then try to develop from this kind of objectives more useful notes disclosures.
So you have slide, you have the agenda paper 5, and on slide 9, it gives you a kind of sense of what is so specific about approach 2. I think it is the way that for some additional information in the notes, we think the objective should be that it is very important to understand the activities of the entity. And by that, we mean that there are some kind of additional notes disclosures that you can't find in primary financial statements, but these disclosures are also very helpful for assessing future cash flows. So it's also important to say that we would not, or we would be also included in approach to the kind of basis for preparation information, and it would also be on stewardship, but we really want to focus on this kind of objectives of developing disclosures more aligned with the key activities of the entity. And on slide 9, you can see that we think that disclosure should be more developed on the activities to understand the cash flows arising from these activities in context of risk, uncertainty, and persistency of those cash flows. And we think it would be very helpful to explain this to you with some kind of examples, and there we also provided an appendix where we want to illustrate to you what could be the potential outcome of this approach. Appendix 5A illustrates the way that instead of developing really for individual line items, topic by topic, disclosures again and again, I think Appendix 5A illustrates very useful to show that there are some kind of disclosures you should really think more in context of like specific activity of the entity. And in Appendix A, it's this kind of financing activity, for example, that you have in different IFRS's a similar disclosure about encumbered assets. And there was a kind of review also from other constituents, and they considered because the requirements for this kind of encumbered assets are really dispersed across different standards, it has also the consequence that preparers also provide this information in very different places in the notes, and therefore they think it would be more useful for first of all to understand the kind of purpose of this disclosure if you really combine this and put this into a kind of context of activity. And of course this might also then result in this kind of more useful disclosures that the information would be disclosed together. So on slide 10 on agenda paper 5, you see also what the ETF has developed for encumbered asset disclosure improvements, and we think with the approach 2 that because you would consider this kind of disclosure about encumbered assets not for individual assets again and again, but you would have it in one place, it would be definitely more useful. And what you can see from the appendix is how you could also streamline disclosure guidance so that instead of having this kind of long list for specific assets, the kind of additional disclosures you should provide in notes, you could think of it might be more useful if you develop the disclosure once in one place and have a kind of more holistic approach. And so this would actually prevent from redeveloping a similar disclosure for similar types of line items in the balance sheet. And therefore, we think this could, first of all, for preparers, be very helpful to understand better what disclosure is all about, to put this into a context of activity. And ideally, also, it would be also then contribute to better disclosures for users because the information is provided in one place instead of different places across the notes. So therefore, it's really this kind of idea that instead of redeveloping similar disclosure requirements, there would be one disclosure requirement, a generic disclosure requirement driven by the objective of understanding the financing activity. And the board would then consider what kind of disclosures should be provided by preparers in context of understanding financing activities instead of really redeveloping the information for individual line items again and again. So therefore,
We also illustrate this with a kind of Appendix B in the Agenda Paper 5B for the kind of roll forward disclosure on operating assets, because you could think that currently in IFRS there's also very similar roll forward requirements for property, plant, equipment, for intangible assets, for investment property, and so on. And the question is, do you really need to redevelop similar disclosures on roll forwards in different standards, or should you really have more an objective-driven single disclosure requirement, where then the preparer would actually make the judgment what kind of operating assets would be really useful to make the roll forward, instead of making a roll forward for property, plant, equipment, while the line item is actually only less than 1% of the total asset amount. So that we have seen, in some financial statements from financial institutions, that they also provide a roll forward on PP&E, while you would consider from an operating asset perspective, it is not very helpful to provide a roll forward on this. And so it is really this kind of intention that there are some types of disclosures that the board should not really develop on specific topic or specific line items, but more from a holistic basis to understand the activity of the entity. And I hope that it is a little bit more clear in a way to understand what would be the impact, so that really it is more to avoid redeveloping similar disclosure requirements, and also get the kind of impression that there's a very long shopping list for one specific line item. And therefore, we really think it could be helpful also to understand why, for example, the entity shall provide information about collateral assets, because it is actually in context of understanding the financing activity of the entity. And I think this is really what should help preparers as well as users in understanding better the disclosure guidance in IFRS. I don't know whether you want to add something on this. Or
no, I do think it's useful on page slide 11 to get a sense of actually what we think we might end up happening in the financial statement itself. Just gives you a sense of if we did seek to set disclosures against objectives of operating finance and investing, but by activities, then I expect that what may occur is that's the way that it would sort of end up flowing through into the financial statements themselves. And I think that's what slide 11 is trying to illustrate.
And we provide it on slide 12, and this is really where the question comes into place, is where we highlight the kind of potential benefits for investors and preparers is, as I mentioned, is with this kind of clear objectives that you should really better understand why to provide this information as a preparer. And preparer would be also, I think, benefit from having more concise and more streamlined disclosure guidance. And ideally, this should also be delivered into, let's say, the reporting package, that the disclosures are also more concise and more understandable, because it's very clear in what kind of context the information should be provided. And of course, it should be clear that it also avoids duplication and inconsistencies. However, what we also see, or what we also discuss, what are the potential downturns of this approach, that you would start not to have a very long list of additional notes disclosures for specific items, but you would develop this more from the activity view of the entity, that you might think that it is a very new approach, and some people might get comfortable, and this might take a little bit of time. It may also be a very strong issue that, because you would then also in IFRS have the requirements by activities, that it could actually be the case that this would also force a preparer to provide in a similar order, in a similar grouping structure, the disclosures. And this might be a kind of concern, that because some entities clearly argue that there should be more flexibility for providing useful and effective information in the notes. And if there is already the disclosure guidance grouped by activities, then it is very difficult to write a different structure in the notes. So therefore, it is this kind of concern that this kind of disclosure guidance would automatically force the preparer in a specific way of providing information in a specific order, in a specific group. And also I think it is, as I mentioned before, a kind of a concern that with this approach you would really start to have a fundamental review of all existing disclosure requirements, and this might take a little bit of time to go through all the kind of existing disclosure requirements. And for example, we illustrate this for some existing disclosures in Appendix A, but you would actually need to do this for all this kind of disclosures. And so for example, you would then have probably one disclosure standard about useful information about the entity's financing activities, and then you need to consolidate all the existing disclosures that are in different standards and bring this into one standard, and this might take a little bit of time. However, you could also see that the ISB is currently proposing an exposure draft, a reconciliation on line items that result in financing activities and cash flows. And you could see this is actually a kind of approach of way the second approach is described, because you could think of developing a roll forward disclosure for lease liabilities. You could develop a roll forward disclosure guidance for financing liabilities or financial liabilities or for pension obligations. But instead, there's just one single disclosure requirement for a roll forward on line items that result in financing activities. And I think that's a very good example that illustrates that instead of having different disclosure requirements, you could have one single disclosure requirement where the preparer would actually make judgment how to best fulfill this kind of roll forward disclosure. So I hope that the idea of approach two is a little bit more understandable now from this kind of explanation. But before we going into the breakout session, I'm very happy to take any kind of clarification question that you might have on this, because we understand it might be very difficult to understand in the first place what is really the kind of fundamental change compared to current practice.
Yes. Going back to the problem.
Yeah.
Do you think this approach will solve the problem number one, disclosure overload?
We think first of all there's really a debate about whether there is a disclosure overload, but we think it can address this, because we think in a way that, for example, I tried to explain that some companies would force actually to consider, you know, what are my operating assets, for example, and then instead of providing really disclosures for all the kind of requirements in IFRS, so let's say there's a requirement for PP&E in IS 16, the company provides this because there's a requirement. But if you provide this disclosure more objective driven on a more holistic basis and say, okay, the operating assets, you have to provide a roll forward, then hopefully we will see that not all the immaterial information will be provided in the notes, that the company makes really judgment, what are really the important things that I need to tell to users about my operating activities to understand and to predict future cash flows.
So for those companies that already exclude immaterial disclosures, will there be a disclosure reduction or not?
If you ask in this way, I would say no, because they make already a good application of materiality. But we see that a lot of companies say it's very difficult to make this kind of application of materiality judgment. And we think this approach could also help, because it is not really then the kind of disclosure requirements you have to provide a roll forward on PP&E, but it would say you provide a roll forward on your operating assets, and then the company decides, okay, what are the operating assets and what kind of roll forward I have to provide.
And I think there is not one solution. If there is disclosure overload, there is not one solution to solve that, but maybe that can help, because some people may be questioning, okay, respective disclosure, and without really knowing a specific objective of this disclosure, it is very difficult to make a judgment if they should make this disclosure yes or no. And if we group it more by objectives, I think it would maybe easier also to have a judgment call on what you should report and what not. I have one question also to this slide where we have the questions, because it said in the second question, do you have any additional concerns regarding the proposal? Is it in addition to what is already mentioned on slide 13?
Yes.
Because it refers to 17, but 17 is objectives, right? So it meant... Okay.
I think you're right. It's a little bit tricky. I think we refer to whether you have additional concerns to slide 13, but the objectives are once again, I think, summarized on slide 17. And this is really slide 17 gives you really this kind of comprehensive view. What are or what should be the objectives under approach 2? And it's also necessary to highlight that. We're just focusing on one piece of information where we discuss now the objective, and this is really the kind of additional information that is mainly useful for assessing future cash flows. We have not discussed yet this kind of objectives for accounting policy disclosures. It would still remain in this approach too, and also approach two would have as a third bucket this kind of disclosure that are mainly relevant for stewardship assessment, for example, management compensation, related party transactions, and so on, where you would argue this might not be really necessary for assessing future cash flows, but information about related party transactions might be very helpful and very useful for stewardship purpose. So therefore, slide 17 is really giving you the comprehensive view on the set of objectives under approach two, but we would really like to discuss with you this kind of idea whether it is helpful to develop disclosures on the main activities of the entity for some additional information that really helps or should help users to assess future cash flows.
Okay, are these questions to understand the concept or to?
No.
Don't you understand? Okay, yeah, then
I understand.
Maybe Bob and Kevin. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Mine's probably not to understand, so I was going to really quickly answer Frank's question in my personal opinion. I'm a real big fan of this, but I think I just want to point out is that I think the term holistic and looking at something holistically is an important item, and I wouldn't want to confuse that with materiality, because I think holistic and holistic view even goes above materiality. And Frank, to your question of even if companies are not reporting immaterial items, will this help anymore? And I think it will, in my opinion, because it will give a holistic view, which is much more than a materiality view on an item-by-item basis. So I'm a big fan of this, and I think it will make a big difference. But my key is don't say this holistic is the same as materiality, because it's a big issue. I'm not saying you said that, but...
They're not there.
Kevin?
So I quite like the idea that it's moving to a more principles base, because we're already there on accounting policies and significant estimates and judgments. My concern is with the new standards that are coming and the IFRIC interpretations. The pressure, and I'm all in favour of making this pressure, the pressure on the board to justify why this interpretation or why this standard is absolutely necessary, to therefore give the preparers an understanding on why they need to think about the disclosures, as well as an objective. Let's take the leases. You know, the current draft has got disclosures as long as your arm, but none of the basic conclusions specifies why each of those disclosures is fundamentally necessary. And so I would look at the new leases standard and probably wouldn't conclude that all those disclosures are necessary, which is right in my organization. But it would be very difficult probably to conclude what does the user want without going to all of my users. So I think there's, without creating the list, an understanding of why the accounting standard is an improvement on whatever current practice is would help users identify what disclosures they would have to go. But don't go down the list route, because that's what we need to avoid.
Very brief response to this, because I think it's a very excellent example, and I have to emphasize that this is now my personal view that I give, but in this kind of lease issue, you would actually, of course, go through and say, okay, what kind of disclosures I need to provide for understanding the number, the lease number. This would be the kind of basis of preparation. But then at the same time, probably it's not the best place to look in the lease project isolated what kind of information I need to understand financing activities of the entity, because leasing is part of this. So therefore, you might say, okay, the kind of lease assets you see in the balance sheet would be more considered as part of, you know, the disclosures about the operating assets disclosures, while on the liability side, you would more look to understand the financing activities more and what kind of information I need to understand the financing activity. So therefore, for example, you would not really have then a kind of difference of disclosures depending on about assets, depending on the way you finance the asset.
So Holger, these are pros and cons, I think, which we want to discuss in the feedback. Is it really on the no pros and cons? It is
no.
Okay.
The document is called Principles on Disclosures, and where are the principles on disclosures? Should we invent them ourselves in the breakout session, or are they listed somewhere?
No, we have to, just to clarify, I think that there's often a misunderstanding between the objective and the principles. I think the project is focusing really on the principles, for example, materiality, cross-referencing, formatting of information. But this project also takes on board the kind of fundamental discussion we have heard quite often, that current disclosure requirements are topical driven and they should be more objective driven, and principles are the way how to achieve the objectives. Yeah. But to improve the principles, you need to better understand what is actually the objective, and therefore this might be misleading in this context, the title of this project.
Yeah.
But the objectives are really sitting on top. You really, what you would like to achieve, and the principles is the way how you could achieve.
And we have to discuss the objectives here.
Yes, and okay. The principles are something that we will not discuss today.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Then we break out and coming back at 2:45.